What's up, y'all? I am Eric. I am an alcoholic. I've been dreading this day for a long time. I'm not a very good speaker of in front of people, but doing it on Zoom is a lot easier. So I'm thankful for the fact that I was able to put together enough sobriety and do it good enough to where Chris asked me to tell my story. So thank y'all for being here. I hope that something about this touches y'all, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So here we go. So my name is Eric Betts. I was born 7/12/1981. I'm 39, going on 40 this year. I'm not excited about that. I was born in Houston, Texas, to an alcoholic mother and an alcoholic father. My biological father was an outlaw biker. He ran with a lot of the Bandito boys. He was a guy from the stories that I've heard. I didn't get to grow up with him a lot. He was a guy you didn't want to owe money to. He was a guy that would come looking for you. We've had apparently a lot of people drug into our apartment complex while I was asleep as a child and forcefully asked to turn over some money that they owed him. So my mom was definitely an alcoholic, definitely one of us. And she kind of started seeing the writing on the walls pretty quick when I was less than 2 years old. So we split. I haven't really had a real strong relationship with my father since then. But shortly after that, she met my stepdad, who now is my father. If you ever hear me talk about my dad, that's who I'm talking about. He's a great man. He's also a heavy drinker. I wouldn't label him one of us. But he definitely drinks quite a bit. So I was around alcohol from day one. My stepdad worked a lot. He was in it. I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with him. I wasn't one of those kids that grew up with a close dad that I bonded with. And my mom wasn't around hardly at all either. They both worked a lot to try to support us. I was very, 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 very... we lived in people's basements and moved around a lot, chasing my dad's work. When we finally, after they got married, I was around five, when we finally settled down into our first house. It was in Pflugerville. I grew up in Pflugerville, here in Austin. And my house life sucked. So I got really blessed. God saw something that needed to work in my life. So I had a neighborhood full of kids that were right about my age. And we had like this neighborhood gang, this little posse. We used to run around. My house backed up right to a creek, and it ran the whole backside of our neighborhood. So I pretty much lived there. And as I was growing up, you know, we would all run the neighborhood, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. It was back in the day where you could go on your bike and be gone all day, and nobody gave a shit, you know. Well, except for all the other kids, they had to be home, you know, when it started getting dark, or they had to be home for dinner. And I never fucking got that. I didn't understand why you got to go home for? What's there? Oh, parents who fucking are parents and want to give a shit about you. I didn't have that. My mom was either drunk and I didn't want to be at home, or no one was there at all because my parents would work all hours of the night. So there's a lot of times where I would go home to an empty house, you know, 6, 7 years old, and make my own dinner and put myself to bed. Many mornings where the alarm would go off and I would wake myself up for school. Try to get my mom up, but she wasn't having it and wouldn't wake up. So I'd make myself breakfast, make myself lunch for that day, and put myself to school, walk to the bus stop. Thank God I had these friends that I grew up with. One of them is still one of my best friends. I've known him since I was 5 years old, and he's still in my life today, and thank God for him. But I would stay at his house a lot. I would stay at anyone's house who would have me. I'd spend the night. I would do anything to not be in my fucking house because there was no one there. No one there that I wanted to spend any time with. My dad was either exhausted from working a 12 or 14 hour day, and, you know, a 7 or 8 year old kid who wanted to play wasn't up his alley at that moment. Or I was listening to them fight because drunken alcoholic rage and just fucking tearing her life to the ground. So it was rough going for a bit. Then around 12, my dad finally had enough of my mom and kicked us out. We moved to Ohio, where my mom's family's from, where my grandma lives. And my grandma started basically watching me, and I started raising me from 12 for about that year. My mom went to rehab, finally got her shit together. And, from 12 on, she's been sober. She just celebrated 26 years of sobriety. So, it has been, someone to look up to, but in the beginning, I had to do a lot of work around mom. So after that, you know, I had a pretty normal-ish. I was a really fucking angry kid. I used a lot of metal music and the metal group of people to let out my anger. I beat people up. I got in a lot of fights. I didn't ever have a healthy way to get out my anger until about 7th or 8th grade when I found sports. I was always a pretty good baseball player, but then I found football, and they wanted me to hurt people, and I was all fucking about it. I took to football and the physical game, like, you know, like what, like a duck of water or some shit like that. Some stupid saying people say. So I did really well at that. I started racing dirt bikes. I actually was semi pro for a little while, up until I was about 16, and my best riding buddy sold his bike to get a car. My career went downhill from there. So I had this strong influence, this strong, I guess, hatred for drinking. So all through high school, I was the guy that would drive my friends to parties, laugh at the people who were drunk, and drive everybody home. You know, I didn't do drinking. I didn't really even enjoy being around it. You know, I would have PTSD flashbacks of fucking shit that I went through as a kid when my friends would get drunk and I had to take care of them, because I had to take care of my mom a lot. So, it didn't sit well with me. So as the years went on, I did fairly well in high school. I was fortunate enough to kind of be the kid that floated around between the tribes in high school. So I had a decent experience in high school. I didn't hate it. After high school, I stuck close to my buddies that I grew up with. And they all started getting a little bit into drinking, and, you know, I just couldn't get behind it. Then New Year's Eve, when I was like 19 or 20 years old, I was at a buddy's house, and him and his family were drinking, and everybody was making margaritas. And I had my very first alcoholic drink ever when I was over 20. I wasn't 21 yet. And we celebrated the new year, and I got fucking hammered for the first time ever, you know, off of like 2 margaritas or whatever. And woke up the next day, felt like shit. And I was like, yep, that's exactly what I thought it was. I don't want to do that shit. That's not for me. I didn't feel it. So my adolescence years kind of carried on, and I was around a lot of guys who drank, and, you know, I started getting that left out feeling that everyone's drinking and I'm not. So I started trying my best to drink. I didn't like beer. I didn't have the taste for it. I couldn't understand how anybody was drinking that shit. So I was drinking girl drinks, or whatever people call them, Smirnoff Ice and Sky Blue vodka and shit like that. And, you know, and I'd have 2 and be super drunk and feel like shit the next day. And I would just didn't have it. This wasn't in me. And I was like, thank God my mom's alcohol gene skipped a generation. Fuck yeah. This isn't for me. I don't like it. So I didn't drink a lot. And then I remember specifically the first beer I had that was like the game changer. I was at a house party with these same dudes, and there was a keg full of Ziegenbach. And everyone's drinking, and I'm not, because I just already had sworn it off by this point. And they talked me into having a Ziegenbach, and I was like, it's actually not too bad. You know, I could probably drink some of that. So I drank 3 or 4 of them. I got a little buzz, and, you know, didn't feel like shit the next day. And I was like, all right, I can do that. So then I was working a shitty job at Lowe's, and I just turned 21, so I could buy it legally on my own now. I was living in a crappy apartment with my first living girlfriend, and I bought home my first 6-pack of Ziegenbach that I ever bought myself. And I sat down and I started playing Gran Turismo on PlayStation, and I hammered that whole 6-pack, and it was awesome. I had a great time sitting there by myself, getting drunk, playing video games. And I was like, this shit's all right. I'm relaxed. I'm all stressed out from work. And then that's pretty much where my drinking career got started. And once it started, now that was a semi-regular thing. I would do that on a regular basis. And to get myself, when I would start getting hangovers and have to go to work, that was back when diet pills had ephedra in them. And I was taking Exenadrin diet pills and taking like half a bottle a fucking day to go through work so I could start drinking. But I started realizing that was not the way I wanted to live my life. I was seeing a lot of patterns from my young childhood, so I cut way back. I decided I was going to go to school. I decided I was going to make a career because I wasn't doing anything. I was working some dead-end fucking job. So I went to TSTC in Waco to be a mechanic. I was always into cars, so I decided that's what I was going to go do. So did all the paperwork, broke up with my girlfriend at the time, moved in with a buddy of mine. One of my buddies that I grew up with, he was going to the same school. Moved in with him and started going to TSTC. And then I started becoming fucking professional drinker. And that's when I had nothing else to do. If you've ever lived in Waco, sorry if you're from Waco, but there's nothing else to fucking do in Waco but drink. Nothing fun anyway. So I started drinking a lot, started drinking much heavier. Started going to more parties, started understanding what this is all about. I'm 22 years old at this point, and I'm really starting to fucking find my groove. I'm starting to become a social butterfly, which I'm not. Like people, I never have. And drinking gave me the ability to talk to people. It gave me the ability to be funny and the life of the party. And, you know, it made me somebody who I thought I wanted to be. So for about a year, I got fucking fat and drunk all the time. All I did was eat shitty food and not work out and drink and drink and drink. So I decided to change my life, and I was going to start boxing because I watched a movie and I wanted to be a boxer. And I finally found somewhere to let go of all this aggression where they won't put me in jail for it afterwards. So I go to this shithole boxing gym in Waco, and that's where I ended up meeting my ex-wife. She walked into there, and she was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And I was going to clean up my life for her. That's where I first time I started remembering controlling my drinking was I started boxing. So I stopped drinking for that. And I stopped drinking because she wasn't going to be with the piece of shit that I was becoming at that time. So we started boxing. I boxed for quite a while. I ended up boxing the whole time I was in Waco. Her and I got pretty serious. Obviously it was going somewhere. I was drinking, but not anywhere near what I had been doing. You know, I was moderating it pretty well, you know, doing really well in school and kind of getting my shit together. So I'm 26 now, or no, 24, and I graduate from TSTC, finest technical school in all the land. And I moved back to Austin, but the girl to be my wife stays in Waco. And now I'm back in Austin with all my party buddies, and I go right back to fucking hammering down Sixth Street every night. I move in with one of my good friends at the time. We've got a Jaeger machine in our house. That's where shit really started. I started becoming a different drinker at that point. And well, through all of that, somehow the girl still ended up marrying me. We got married when I was 26. I still held it together pretty well. I ended up getting hired on at Toyota for my first job. Once I started working, I stopped drinking as much. I only drank, you know, on the weekends and, you know, like that. But when I drank like I drank, you know, until it's all gone. But it was weekends. I was pretty much a weekend warrior. Did really well at the job. She was in broadcast journalism, so I ended up moving. I moved several times for her job because you have to start in a larger market or a small market, excuse me. So we moved to a shithole called Denison, Texas, where I had absolutely no friends, no family for the first time ever. And I did nothing but fucking try to kill myself by drinking. I couldn't take it. So her solution for that was obviously I was miserable because I was alone. So we moved again, and then we moved to a place called Tyler, Texas, which if you've ever been there, it's super awesome. But I had a friend I went to college with who's now still one of my good friends that lived there. So I thought, we were going to be good. But there was this, when we got there, things started getting pretty decent. I had a decent job. Her career was going better. But I was feeling this disconnect in our relationship, and I knew something was going on. And I stopped drinking completely because I thought that's what it was. I started working out. I got in shape. I put on all this muscle, and I fucking stopped drinking because I thought our divide was because of my drinking. So, but something was going on, and I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I thought maybe she doesn't like her job or whatever, and there wasn't good communication, and something was up. So skipped way ahead. Blah, blah, blah. So then she finally gets enough experience in her job to be able to work her way back to Austin. And we moved back to Austin, and this is where shit fucking starts to hit the fan. We moved back to Austin. I got back in my job at Toyota. Now I've had a lot more experience, so they pay me a bunch of money. She gets this badass news anchor job here in Austin. She's making pretty good money. We buy this big fucking house we can't afford. I buy a sports car that we can't afford. And I get her a nice Toyota Camry that we also can't afford. And we're keeping up with the Joneses. And we're working our asses off and trying to pay for all these fucking bills. And then the promotion. So we take it because we think we need more money because of all these bills. And then I lose my wife because she starts working nights and I start doing nothing but drinking because now I start doing this thing where it's all my fault. She doesn't love me anymore. I'm not good enough. She's taking this job over me and I start playing this game. And the only one who understands me are my drinking buddies. So I start drinking all the time. And then I fell in love with another white girl, and her name is Cocaine. And shit really fucking, that's where shit starts getting bad. I can't stop drinking because now I have a solution for being drunk. All I gotta do is snort this white powder and I'm sober again. Now I can act sober when I'm drunk. So now I can drink whenever the fuck I want. And things start getting fucking, this is where I start losing control. This is the first time in my life where, you know, I'm 31 or 32 by this point. And this is the first time people start talking to me about my lifestyles. People start sitting me down and looking at me and being like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you've got everything on paper. You've got the house, the car, the supermodel wife. You've got everything. What is your problem? But inside, I was the most miserable person I've ever been in my entire life. By far, I was fucking crashing down and I didn't understand why. I thought I was just a piece of shit and nobody loved me. So through the madness, we still decide that getting pregnant and having a baby is going to fix everything. So we do that and she gets pregnant. And, we had just had a friend at that point lose their baby. So we don't tell anybody till way late and, we think it's safe. And we ended up losing the baby at like 13 weeks. So it was like a horror fucking movie in my bathroom. It was one of the most traumatic, horrible things that I'd ever been through at that time. And but the thought of getting pregnant didn't slow me down with my drinking and my cocaine use. That's what really fucked me up. And so I witnessed this. And like within 3 months of that miscarriage, we're separated. And when we separated, everything in my life was fucking shattered and I was off of the races. Every excuse imaginable to drink and use as much as I possibly could. And I was going to kill myself. I was done. I was out. I had nothing to live for. I lost everything in my house, lost the car, lost the baby, lost the wife, lost it all. I was fucking out. I was done. I didn't want to be here anymore. But I'm a coward, so I didn't have the balls to pull the trigger, so I was going to do it by drugs and alcohol. I was going to fucking kill myself. The easiest way that I knew how was go out, blaze of glory, and end it on, you know, party. And I fucking tried. I did all the cocaine in Austin I tried to do. I tried to drink all the beer. I tried to fuck all the women. I was on a crash course for disaster. And somehow I was able to save enough money from our house sale to buy myself another house. And I had my own little trap house running. Like just fucking different people coming in and out. I didn't know who the fuck they were. I had drug dealers selling drugs out of my house. I had just crazy shit going on. I didn't know who I was or what was going on. So I needed to move. I needed to get away from my drug dealer. That's going to fix everything. That's the solution. I'm not an alcoholic. My drinking is not a problem. I'm only drinking because of the cocaine, because I can't do cocaine sober. So I move again back to Tyler, back to the same buddy that I was with the first time in Tyler. He's got a guy that's going to hook me up with a job. I'm basically getting fired at that point anyway, because I can't keep coming to work. So it all made sense. So I go to Tyler, and it's so bad. It got so much worse. The cool thing about drug users is it doesn't matter where we go, we'll find that shit. And I found it like day one. And it was cheaper and better than the shit I had here. And I got fired from the job almost immediately. I was there like 3 weeks. I got fired. Was able to talk another guy into hiring me to where I can make enough money to keep supporting my habits. And I got real fucking bad. This is when I couldn't stop. Not for a day, not for a minute, not for anything. I was full of drugs and constantly drunk. And I went to a concert in Dallas, drove all the way back to Tyler, shit-faced, and got pulled over, got a DUI. And that was my second DUI. I'd gotten one 10 years earlier, but that was just a bad night. So this is my second DUI at that point, and the cop almost had to beat me to put me in the car. Like, I was such a piece of shit. I still want to get a hold of that tape. It was pretty good. So now I'm finally admitting I need some help. You know, I'm trying to kill myself and I can't. I actually had held a gun at one point in my hand, was gonna fucking just do it, and I didn't do it. So I need help. So I think at this point I finally break down and I seek some counseling. I do it to a drug and alcohol counselor. He pushes me towards AA, and you know, I go reluctantly, but I meet with this counselor twice a week. Every time I go meet him, I'm drunk. I drink before I go there. I drink right afterwards, not listening to what he says. He knows I'm full of shit. He's just taking my money. He's cool with it. I'm going to AA meetings and I'm working the steps. I wrote my first 4-step fucking high and drunk as fuck. It was pretty masterful. Pretty awesome piece of work. So I'm doing this dog and pony show, trying to fool my family and my friends and everybody into thinking I've got this recovery thing down, and I'm drunk and high the whole time. And in my mind, I got this, you know, I'll just go to AA. So I'm not drinking too much. That's my big plan at this point. I'm, you know, my drinking did slow down. I was only using cocaine on the weekends. I mean, normal, you know? So I'm just telling people see me drinking, like, aren't you like trying to stop drinking? But yeah, well, I just do it to like maintain, so I'm not drinking so much. Literally the shit that would come out of my mouth. So I did that for a really, really long time. I did it for about a year, year and a half. Well, now I just can't stay sober in Tyler. I got to move again. I got to get the fuck out of here. It's Tyler. It's not me. It's not my alcoholism. It's Tyler. It's where I'm living. This place sucks. I got to go. So through all the years of this, right after I got divorced, I went to Wacken Metal Festival and I met a German girl there. And we were in a relationship as much as you can be with a drunken alcoholic cocaine addict from across the world. But I maintained enough of a relationship with her that she was willing to let me come live with her. So now America is the problem. It's all these fucking Americans that are bugging me, that are causing me to drink and use so much drugs. So I got to go to Germany. I signed up for a language class. I'm going to get my shit together. I'm going to speak German. I'm going to move to Germany and I'm going to get a fucking job in a German camp. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live with this girl because I love her. And that's going to fix fucking everything. And, so when I moved out of Tyler for my DUI, I had to do 2 weeks in jail. So I literally moved all of my shit from Tyler into a storage, and went to jail immediately, got out of jail, stayed clean for two weeks while she was here picking me up. We flew back to Germany together. I made it about 5 days. And it's really weird. When you want cocaine really bad, you can find it. Even when you're in another country and you don't speak their language. Start noticing where the transients hang out. Start noticing the guys that look like they got cocaine. And no shit, they fucking got it. So I'm literally hanging out at the bus stop with homeless people, drinking and doing fucking cocaine on the side of the road where the cops don't give a shit. So now I am fucking way worse than I was in any of the other places I was. And I'm not showing up right. And this girl is finally seeing me for who I am at this point. And she's like, what the fuck did I get myself into? And somehow she's still stuck by me. And I was able to clean my act up for a little bit because I had an incident there where I scared her and I punched a wall and, you know, stuff that us drunk assholes do. So I promised that when I got back home, I was going to rehab. If she would just let me live with her until the amount of time that we had discussed, I would go home and go to rehab and put this shit back together. So on December 16th of 2019, I came home. And I did not go to rehab. I was going to do it on my own. I had it. I had a plan. I was going to go to AA meetings. I knew I was back in Austin where I speak English. I know people here. I can find a community and get sober. I can do this. And on my way to my first AA meeting, I just stopped by the convenience store just so I could get a tall Mike's Hard Lemonade, just so I could get a little buzz so I could make it through the meeting. Then on my second meeting, I did the exact same thing. Then on the third meeting, I drank two of them, never made it to the meeting. So it wasn't working at all. So on December 26th of that year, day after Christmas, I was doing what I normally do. I was driving around because the only place that I could drink, like I wanted to drink and not be judged, was in my car by myself, listening to metal. But I wasn't listening to metal this time. I was listening to Marilyn Manson's fucking autobiography. If you want to fucking drink over something, listen to that fucked up shit. And I was drinking, I was getting high, and I got so drunk that I couldn't drive anymore. I literally couldn't even function my fucking car. And I pulled over into a parking lot and I called an Uber and I went back to my parents' house. I walked in the door and I threw myself on the ground in front of my mom and I said, I need fucking help. I can't fucking do this. And then, January 2nd of 2020, I checked into Austin Recovery. That was where I was coming from. And I drank all the way up until that day too. I was high as fuck when I got there. I was drunk when I got there. And I was desperate, but I had no solutions. I did not think it was going to work for me. I did not know what the fuck was going to happen when I got there. I came in broken, beaten, destroyed, willing to do whatever the fuck they said, but I did not believe that anything they said was going to work. I didn't believe any of it. I thought it was all fucking bullshit. So I started paying attention. I did what they started telling me to do. And things started changing for me when I told you I'd worked the steps a little bit. I had worked with a sponsor in Tyler. Wasn't working just because I was drunk the whole fucking time. I couldn't stay sober long enough to get the concept, to even try to put it. And nothing I did worked because I wasn't doing anything. And the steps weren't explained to me. They were just step one is this, step two is this, step three is this. That's it. You know what I mean? So when I got there and Chris started explaining, breaking down the steps and the work and the actual, because I always heard people say, work the steps. I'm like, what the fuck work is it? I just read them. You know, I got a problem. Yeah, I can't fucking do this shit on my own. What is so hard about that? What work do I have to do for that? You know, I'm a hard worker. I got it. Tell me to do some work. I'll do some work. So when shit started happening for me, it started making sense to me when I saw the work you actually do to work the steps. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool shit right there. I can actually do something and do step one. I can do step two. Then things got better for me also when the God concept got opened up for me. And I was able to create my own higher power because me and God don't jive. I didn't do Christianity. I grew up without it. I didn't understand it. I thought people that were hardcore Bible thumpers were out of their fucking mind. Thought they were giving money to some cult, and I just couldn't fucking do it. So when you tell me, when I came in and there's all this God stuff, well, keep praying and keep giving it to God. I was like, fuck you. Keep giving your money to God? Well, you want me to pay some fucking church to keep me sober? It's not going to work for me. So when I got to create my own concept of God and understand that my higher power doesn't have to be your higher power, and we don't have to work this shit together, that's where shit started to make sense for me. And when I checked out of rehab, I had 30 days, but I was fucking not feeling that I was going to make it. I went to 1313 the day I got out of rehab because those dudes came in and they spoke to me, and they were my tribe, and I felt connected to them. And I watched a dude get his 1 year chip, and I was picking up my 30 day chip, and I was like, there ain't no fucking way I'm gonna be able to get 1 year, dude. I'm out one day and I want to drink. Like I'm able to do what I want to do for one day, and I want to drink right now today. Like leave this fucking meeting and go get high. It's just, I don't understand it. But I just kept doing what everyone in rehab. Like I wasn't going to sober living. I wasn't doing it. I wasn't going to IOP. Wasn't doing that shit. I was sick of rehab by this point. I felt like the rehab was only a 2 week program, and I was there for two cycles of it basically. And I just didn't get it. So I was like, I'm done with it. But I was desperate enough to be like, all right, you know what? All these people who are keeping people sober are telling me to do this shit. So I'm going to do it. So I went to sober living, and now I'm friends with three or four guys that I went to sober living with, some of the closest people I ever met. And it's definitely the absolute best thing that I ever did. I went to IOP begrudgingly, and I fucking did not like it. Didn't jive. I didn't care for it, but it helped. It worked. I did the things they told me to do, and it worked for me. And I also stacked up enough things that I didn't want to do again. That was the main thing. Like every time I thought about relapsing at that point, after, you know, I had 90 days, 120 days or whatever, I was thinking about leaving sober living already. I'd already had my job back. I was almost done with IOP. It's like, if I relapse now, I got to go do that shit over again. I got to go break down and tell someone I need help. I got to go back to rehab again. I got to go to sober living again. It's like, I don't want to do any of that shit. It's just way easier to stay sober. I don't want to get sober again. So that's the shit that kept me sober. And that's where I'm at now. And now a year later, my life's looking pretty good. I don't do this shit perfectly. I still have a lot of struggles. I still want to drink. I'm not going to lie about it. I still want to. But I know that I can't drink because I don't drink like everybody else. You know, when I think I want to drink, it's because I see other people drinking who are normal people who can go out on a Friday night and have a couple drinks, and it doesn't turn into Sunday morning. My Friday nights turn into Sunday morning every time, every single time. And I can't drink like that. So I'm able to play that tape through in my head. I'm able to understand that I'm not a normal person anymore. And I've had to redefine what I thought is fun. All I thought I was in the strip clubs and the fucking partying and the bullshit I was doing wasn't fun. That was not fun. I thought it was fun until I'm able to have a savings account and pay my bills, and people ask me to do shit for them, and I'm able to show up and do it for them because I said I would. You know, that shit's fun to me. That being able to show up when you are asked to and people need you and they call you because they know you'll be there, that's fun. And I think that's about all I got. I don't know if the time limit's good enough, but
that was great, Eric. Thank you. Yeah, awesome job, Eric.
That was awesome, Eric. Went to TSTI when it was TSTI instead of TSTC, and I feel you on that. It's a real.